Well, good morning, church. Good morning. If you could please make your way back to your seats, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to welcome our online community today. Why don't you give all those online a big welcome this morning? Great to have them onboarding with us today. It's one of the necessary things you've got to do in this modern day and age of church world and church life. Who remembers church prior to cameras? Yeah, but nowadays you kind of got to do it because people are catching this thing and are well 1 minute and then sick the next, and their family's out of play and they've got to isolate. And so this is just a convenient way for them to be able to still be on board today in terms of church world and church life and not missing out on what we're doing. So big welcome to all of our online community today. Welcome to you. Give yourself a round of applause today for being in church. School holidays. That's a good deal. I want to welcome my dear mum today. She's on the front row here this morning, misbehaving herself badly. Welcome to church. You should come more often. You should. She's here very often. She lives in Bundaberg, but she comes to church here quite a bit. She watches every week online. And next to her is my very, very good friend, Ian. Ian and I go back all the way to school days and grew up together. He's my brother from another mother and loving to bits. And he's here on a little bit of a holiday from, what state do you live in now? You're in New South Wales. Well, New South Wales. Do we welcome anyone from New South Wales? Welcome from New South Wales today. Give Ian a big hand. Great to see you today. Tony Martin, good to see you back on holidays, my friend. God bless you. Welcome back to church today. Give Tony a big welcome. Good on you, Tony. We love you. Well, here we are. Easter is coming up very, very fast, as Trent pointed out to us. This Friday is our Good Friday service. Over the weekend, two services. Good Friday for 1 hour. That'll be a communion service where we celebrate Jesus going to the cross and everything achieved there. Then Sunday, we're here for a special celebration, as we saw on church news. We're baptizing a bunch of people. Our theme for Easter is Easter changed everything. Easter changed everything. It's a game changer. And so we're talking about that over Easter. Don't miss it. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We have some amazing God stories coming that we're going to share over the Easter weekend on Sunday from the people that we're going to be baptizing. So there's a little card we've made available for you. You can get that at the Ask Me desk. That's a little desk in the foyer where you find out all things church. So make sure you go there if you want to give, if you want to find out information about church life, church world, and how you can be involved. We've been talking for a number of weeks now, I think this is week four, about being a believer, and our theme is Believer 101. I chose this title because the whole concept of 101 in any area of study means that you're looking at the foundational thoughts, you're looking at the fundamentals, you're looking at the basics. And it's important, no matter what your sphere of study or career might be when you're pursuing studies, that you get the 101 right. If you don't get 101 right, nothing else is right. Doesn't matter what you do. If you don't do the foundations right, if you're building a building, you can put up the most beautiful walls, the most amazing roof, it can have the most amazing architecture, but if the foundations are wrong, if Colin Harper has not laid the foundations and done that and laid the cement and everything that goes on there, Cole, you understand foundations. It's all about the foundations. It's like in a band, it's all about the bass. Where's Gagey? It's all about the bass, Gage. That's what it's all about. And it's all about the foundations. Nobody applauds you for laying wonderful foundations. Nobody walks into this building and goes, man, I love what you've done with the foundations. They're amazing. You can't even see the foundations. They're all covered up. But if they weren't here, you'd sink. If they weren't here, the whole building would cascade. Everything would implode. And that's what happens in life when you don't lay foundations and you don't take the time to lay foundations properly. There is a big, big difference. Everyone say big difference? There's a big difference. Big, big, big difference between being a professing believer and a practicing believer. God wants us not only to be professing to be a believer, but also practicing to be a believer. The more you practice, the better you get. The more you practice, The more you get involved, the more you lean in, the more you give yourself towards pursuing God, the more you receive out of it, the more you grow, the more you develop, the more you change. This is what Paul said, and Paul is like, he's like a spiritual mentor, to use today's language. The Bible calls him an apostle, meaning that he was one of the great church leaders. He fathered many churches. He pioneered, built many churches. He oversaw many churches. So he's like a spiritual mentor or a spiritual coach. And he writes this to the church at Philippi. He goes, "Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me. Everything you have heard from me and everything that you have saw me doing." Paul says, put this into practice. Put these things, and not only put them into practice, keep putting them into practice. In another place, he talks about, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In other words, just as you see, do. Which is what Jesus said to the disciples. If you want to know how to do this, he called it ministry in the kingdom of God. If you want to know how to serve me, just watch what I do and do it. Which is what you do when you're an apprentice. When you're an apprentice, you watch the master. And you observe the master. And you do everything that the master says to do. If you're the Karate Kid, you grasshopper watches the master. Everything that the master does, that's how you learn. And so we've all got to be looking, observing, listening, hearing, leaning in and taking it into our heart and learning how to live this kingdom life. Really what Paul is saying is the power of the Christian life is in the doing. The power of the Christian life is in the doing. It's in the walking out of the faith that we say we have. Now, we're not saved by works. We're not saved by acts. We know that. But there is a sense, and the Bible says it. James wrote it. He says, show me your faith by your works. In other words, let there be some indication that God is working in your life by the way that you live, by the pattern that you've built into your life. So it's not what we intend to do that makes a difference. It's what we actually do. Intentions are good, habits that are positive and scriptural and that are patterned on what Paul is talking about, they are gold. And gold is better than good. How many of you know that? Give me gold any day. Gold is better than good. So it's our habits that shape our life and our future. Jesus said it this way. He says in Matthew 7, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and here's our phrase again, and puts them into practice. Everyone who puts my words into practice. Not just those that hear, not just those that see, but those that do and put them into practice. They are like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rest of the story goes that when the rains come, when the storms come, when the torrent comes, when the floods come, when the pandemic comes, when whatever it is that comes that shakes the house, the foundations will hold you secure. Now, Jesus spoke these actual words while he was preaching a sermon, his most famous noted sermon, that goes over several chapters of the Bible, and it's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, these are the words that he refers to when he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, he's referring to that sermon that he preached. He's referring to the Sermon on the Mount. He's referring to the content of that moment. And it's a moment that was very practical. I love how practical Jesus is. Jesus is not some mystical guru. He's not mystical in any way. He's certainly not weird. What he is really intentional and practical about how to be a believer and how to walk that out in our daily lives. And so he's saying, these actual words of mine, if you put them into practice, there'll be great blessing in your life. Your life will be held together when the storms of life come. So I want to focus today on some of these actual words that Jesus shared in this Sermon on the Mount. Before we do, Our priorities are what determine the pattern of our life. Our priorities, the things that we give ourselves to first, are the things that determine the pattern and the direction and the atmosphere and the culture of our life. And the thought is, if you don't like your pattern, change your priority. If you don't like your pattern, change your priority. If you don't like the outcome, then you've got to address some of the actions that you're doing to change. The problem for a lot of human beings is they want the change, but they don't want the process. They want the change, but they don't want to change their priority or their habit to get the change that they want. So here's my question. What are your priorities? What's first in your life? What's first across the different spaces of your life? What is it that is number one? Everyone say number one? Number one, what is first? You see, Jesus is really politically incorrect if he was on stage today, because he believes in first. Whereas a lot of people don't believe in first today. They just believe everyone's a winner. Everyone gets a ribbon. Everyone gets a prize just for showing up. Well, I actually used to love the days when you went to school and if you won the race, you were first. If you came second, you were second. If you came third, you were third. If you came last, you were last. And there was no good feeling about coming last. Anyone remember that feeling? I don't. Anyone? You fell into that one, didn't you? You fell in hook, line and sinker. That feeling of coming last, it's not a good feeling. But in actual fact, it's something that helps motivate and inspire people not to come last again, but to come maybe third next time and maybe second next time and then come first. First is obvious because first is out in front. First is number one on the list. What is number one on the list for your life? So let's consider several things Jesus told us about that we should have as our primary concern. Our primary concern, way up top of the list of our life. Things that indicate that Jesus is actually first. Things that indicate that God is first in our life. You see, there's got to be some evidence. There's got to be some proof. There's got to be some indicators that God is a priority, that he's a primary concern for us. To use Bible language, there's got to be some indicators that Jesus is the Lord of our life, the master of our life. You see, everybody has a Lord. Everybody has a master. The Bible talks about this. We're going to look at it a little bit later on. Everyone has a Lord. Everyone has a master. It's who will be our Lord, who will be our master. Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33. He says, God will give you all you need from day to day. He'll give you everything you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So God has called us into his kingdom. Into his kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. In this kingdom, we thrive under the culture of living in obedience to the king. Jesus is the king of his kingdom. We are the citizens of his kingdom. His world, his kingdom is ruled by his word. The kingdom determines what the culture will be within his kingdom. And as citizens, as we follow the king and as we follow the king's word, we enjoy all the benefits of that kingdom life. And in this verse, Jesus tells us that we are to make this kingdom, the kingdom of God, our primary concern, our number one concern in our life. And he warns us not to get distracted, not to be distracted by the things of life, by the things of life. Now, there's several things that Jesus talks about here that are important for us to note today that are going to indicate that God is first in our life. God is first in our life if we have a kingdom focus. He's first if we have a kingdom focus. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom. Seek first my kingdom. Now, to have a kingdom focus in context, in the context of what Jesus is talking about, and this is really important to understand, to look at the flow of what Jesus is talking about. That verse that says that Jesus will give us everything that we need from day to day if we make the kingdom of God our primary focus is spoken of to people when Jesus was talking to them about making sure their treasure is cared for in the right way, that their treasure is invested in the right way. And he encourages people not to get caught up in the pursuit of things in life. And Jesus is saying, look, I know you need things, but things should never be number one. Things are important. God knows we need things. He knows you need a house. He knows you need a car. He knows you need things, clothes to wear, food to eat. He knows all of that. But he's saying, just don't make them the pursuit. Don't be absorbed by them. Don't be consumed by going after them. This is what he actually says. Matthew 6:21. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Guaranteed, wherever your treasure is invested today, you're thinking of it all the time. You're thinking of it all the time. If you bought a new car this week, no doubt you're not listening to my sermon right now. You're imagining yourself driving that new car. That's what you're doing. If you bought a new block of land, you're walking it right now while you're sitting in this room because your heart has been located there because of an investment. So Jesus is talking to the people on the mountain about where you place your treasure will determine where the desires of your heart will be. And it comes with this warning, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You can't serve both God and money, is what Jesus is saying. Now, it's not that money is bad. Money is good. But when money is our primary concern, when the things of life become our number one pursuit in life, and we're totally caught up in the pursuit of that, that's not going to lead to a good outcome. The good news is God knows what you need, and the promise is he'll give it to you every day, if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Now, when Jesus said give it, that doesn't mean it's just going to fall out of heaven. I've never had my clothes fall out of heaven yet. I've never had food fall from heaven. I've never had a house fall from heaven or a car fall from heaven. I've had to work for them. And the work that God enables me to do is the blessing of God in my life that empowers me to create wealth, to live the life that God has called me to live and be who I'm called to be. See, God is very practical. He's not mystical. I'll tell you where the mystical people are looking. They're out looking. They're waiting for it to fall from the heavens. God, send me down those things. And they'll be waiting forever while I'm here working diligently to create the things. See, God gives us the creative ability to do it ourselves. It's not going to fall out of heaven into our laps. It's going to come to us as we do the practical things that God is talking about. When we put God first in practice, he becomes our Jireh. He becomes our provider, Jehovah Jireh. It's one of the names given to God. And it talks about what he does, that he is a God that blesses us abundantly. He is a God that provides for us as his people, as we follow his word and align our hearts with his word. So if you're a believer 101 and you want to understand this principle, what you do is you align your life to build the interest of the kingdom of God, like Jesus spoke about, that it will be my primary pursuit. I'm going to link my heart to the kingdom of God. And once again, Jesus does not give a mystical way to do that. He gives a measurable way, and he gives a very practical way. And he says we do this by putting God on the top of the list, on the top of the list. One of the practical ways we do that in church world and church life is we have the practice of tithing when it comes to giving financially in offerings like we did before. And so many people in our church would tithe. Now, tithe is not a word you're going to hear in our economy today in many, many places. You're not going to go into the bank and just say to the bank manager, I want to take some money out for my tithe. They don't understand that language at all. But it is an old word that's used by numbers of people around the place still, but it's certainly used in church. It means the first part, the best part, one-tenth of everything that your land produces is what God's word commands us and instructs us and encourages us to do, to present to God from everything that we are blessed with. And the Bible talks about it honoring God when we do that. Now, what we don't do in terms of giving is this, is we don't bring our leftovers. God is not an afterthought. He's not number 10 on the list. He's first on the list. And here's why. The Bible says the tithe is holy. It's holy. In other words, it literally means, that word holy in the Old Testament literally means it's marked and it's set aside for the purposes of God. It's marked and it's set aside for the purposes of God. Now, our choice is this. We're either going to give that to the Lord or we're going to give it to the other Lord. But give it you will. Everybody tithes. Everybody gives. But those that believe in Believer 101, and those that come under the lordship of Jesus, what they do is they align their hearts with the word of God and they give it to God. Now, the nation of Israel is recorded numbers of times in the Bible where time and time again they gave God the leftovers rather than giving the tithe. That meant they had an economy where they didn't bring money, but they brought sheep and doves and all this kind of thing to the house of the Lord. And they started to sacrifice not the best lamb, not the prize lamb, not the unblemished lamb, but they bought the lame and the mangled and the ones they didn't want. And they started presenting them. And they said to themselves, and it's recorded in Malachi, they said to themselves, it's not important how we come to worship. It's not important what we do. Well, that's what they thought. God challenged that and God said, well, it's important to me. It's important to me because it despises my name. It's important to me because you disgrace my name with the offering that you bring me. And then he says this to them, and we know this verse well in Malachi 3:10. He says, bring the full tithe into my storehouse, into my house, that there may be food and provision in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. A lot of people get hung up with this verse and this passage, get hung up on it and they don't like it. The truth is, every time God gives a command like this, bringing a full tithe into the storehouse, he backs it up with a promise. Every time God asks something of us, he backs it up with a promise of blessing, a promise of favor, because God's not here to take, he's here to give. He's not here to get from you, he's here to get to you, is what he's here to do. He's not here to reduce you, he's here to increase you. He's here to promote you, is what he's here to do. And so our tithe, when we bring it, when we present it, it represents our best, our first tenth, and what we do with our tithe reflects who the Lord is in our lives. Our Lord is either ourself or things or God. Our Lord is one of these three things. It's either us, it's either all about me, or it's all about my things, or it's all about God. And Jesus said we are to make the kingdom of God our primary concern. Not the kingdom of self and not the kingdom of things. And those two kingdoms do exist. The kingdom of God is called to be our primary concern, because when we do that, we're coming under the lordship of Jesus. We're allowing him to be the master of our world, the master of our lives, and the master of our finances. Here's the thought I had about our giving. You can't say God is first if we put him last in our finances. You can't say God's first if you don't put him first. And so we need to make sure that we put God first. The second area that I want to focus that Jesus talked about from the Sermon on the Mount was this, is God is first in our lives if we prioritize harmony in our relationships. Harmony in our relationships. This is good advice. Matthew 5:23, Jesus said, so if you're standing at the altar, in other words, if you come to church, and you're going to offer your worship or your sacrifice to God, and you suddenly, everyone say suddenly, you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. Not that you have something against someone else, but that someone has something against you. If someone has something against you and you remember that while you're coming to worship, it says leave. First, leave your sacrifice there besides the altar and go, beside the altar, and go and be reconciled to that person and then come and do your worship. Jesus is very practical. He said, if you remember someone's got something against you, go and sort it out. Go and do what you can, do all that's within your power to sort out the issue and the grudge that is held against you. Now, you may be the one in the right, but if you don't go, you're actually in the wrong. You may be in the right, but if you don't go and make an effort, then you're actually in the wrong. We're told to go and try and make peace. And here's why. If you don't, it's going to rule your spirit. It's going to rule your mind, and it's going to rule your heart. And when you worship, it's going to be on your mind and on your spirit and on your heart. And God knows that, and God wants to be first, not those issues and not that person or those people or that situation. So the question I have for you today is, who is controlling your spirit when you worship? Who is controlling your spirit when you worship? Because if you can't get them off your mind, then you've got to get off your seat and you've got to go and try and sort it out and get some peace before you come to worship. Hebrews 12:14, the writer says, try. Everyone say try. Try to live at peace with everybody. Do your best. Try and live at peace with everybody. So Jesus instructs, our first priority is to deal and heal with the relational rifts that happen. Do what you can to set things right. Don't worry about how the other person responds. If they don't receive you, that's their circumstance and situation for them to put up with. Jesus just said, go and make peace. Go and reconcile. Because anyone or any situation or event that occupies your spirit, your heart and mind in a negative way will hinder your worship. And so Jesus said, if you want me first in your life, this is the practical way that you have to live. Thirdly, Jesus is first in our life if we live with a positive and encouraging spirit. You know, Jesus is concerned about how we relate to each other, how we engage and interact with the people around us. And he says this in his sermon in Matthew 7:1. He says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Don't go around judging everybody so that you won't be judged. For you'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you'll be judged. In other words, be gracious. Grace is so attractive, isn't it? When you see grace in action, it's such an attractive thing, as opposed to judgment, which is so terrible. It's so clinical. It's so legal. Verse 3 of Matthew 7, Jesus said, and why worry about the speck? Everyone say speck. In your friend's eye, when you have a big log. Everyone say log.
Log.
In your own eye. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that little speck in your eye when you can't see past the big log in your own eye? Hypocrite, with an exclamation mark. First, everyone say first.
First.
Get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. You have no right to pick on the speck in someone else's eye if you've got a log sticking out of your own eye. If you're walking around like a loghead, don't go trying to adjust the little speck in someone else. I love the word pictures that Jesus uses, don't you? I love the way he communicates. He's a master communicator. He's talking about not passing judgment on people, but to pass on judgment. He's talking about dealing with the issues in your own life and not pointing a finger at everybody else. And he tells us how to deal with ourselves and sort out our own issues. And really he's saying, well, you know, you can't go picking on everybody else all the time and trying to deal with the speck, let me get up nice and close to you, in someone else's eye. Now, it's really hard. I don't know whether you've ever seen anyone with a log. Imagine walking around with a jacaranda tree sticking out of your eye. Like, this is the word picture that Jesus is using here. Here I am, Tony Loghead. And I'm out in the world and I'm just trying to make friends. But all I can see is specky eyes. And I'm trying to get up close and personal to my friends with specky eyes. But between me and Speckhead over here, Trent, my friend, who I want to get close to, I want to have some friendship with him. But he's got a speck I'm trying to get out of his eye. But there's a log. Everyone say log?
Log.
There's a heavy log. There's a log between me and my friend, and I just can't get close. I don't know how many times I have people say to me as a pastor, I just want to have some friends. I just want to get some friends in church world and church life. But you know, the reality is sometimes the friends you want can't get anywhere near you because you got a log sticking out of your eye. You got something in between you and them. And not only can't you get close, you're dangerous. People start ducking for cover when you get involved in their world and their life, and you do damage to them because you're trying to get close to them, but you just end up hurting people with the log that's sticking out of your eye. It's a dangerous thing to have a log sticking out of your eye. Imagine the places you couldn't go if you got a log sticking out of your eye. Like, you couldn't get into an elevator when you got a log sticking out. How do you drive a car? You'd have to have it through the sunroof. And you'd be looking up like that with a log up there. You wouldn't be able to see where you go. Your vision is distorted because I'm seeing you through my log. Some of you actually look better like this. I'm seeing you through this log. This is log. It just perverts and distorts all of my vision about you. And Jesus is saying, if you want to put me first, you're going to put the log down. And stop trying to deal with a little speck that my friend over here might have. I'm trying to get the speck and wipe it out of his eye. But in the meantime, I'm a loghead. I love the way Jesus talks. He is so practical. He is not mystical. He is not weird in any way. He gives us very practical advice about how to live, how to do the journey, how to get on with people, how to stay in connection, how to stay in community, how to stay in relationship. In actual fact, a lot of times the friends that people want in their world can't come into their world because of what's sticking out of their eye. And the way they see their world, and the way they engage with others, and the way they engage with people. Because we beat people up, we knock people down by the words we use, by the vision that we have, because of the log that sticks out of our own eye. So when you have a negative spirit or attitude, here's the deal. Pardon me, I'm out of breath because I'm extremely not match fit. Logs are heavy. When you have a negative attitude or a negative spirit, it's obvious to everyone else but you. And you think nobody else sees that log, but that log is obvious to everybody else. You can't hide it. It's like walking around with a log in your eye. Lastly, everyone say lastly. Everyone gets excited for the last point. Lastly, God is first in our life if we follow the leader. If we follow the leader. Jesus said this in another place in Luke 14. It's the invitation we all have to become a disciple, to make Jesus Lord of our life and master of our life. He says, you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if there is enough money to pay the bills? So first, Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost of following me. Count the cost of what it's going to involve to become a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, otherwise, if you don't complete the job, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds, and then how everyone would laugh at you, and they would say, hey, there's the guy who started that building and ran out of money before it was finished. So here's my last thought. We are called to be led. We are called to follow. We are called to be led. We are called to follow. And so my question is, if we're not following, are we really a follower? If we're not following, are we really a follower? Because if you're a follower, there's some things you've put first. The things I've talked to you about today and the things that Jesus continues to talk about in the Sermon on the Mount. There's a cost to following Jesus. Salvation is free, but the cost to having Jesus being your master is the cost of dying to self, laying down your life and putting him first. And doing that in practical ways, in measurable ways, not in mystical ways. And Jesus asked us to be one that would go the distance. You see, starting is important, but finishing is the goal. Don't be a starter, be a finisher. Be a finisher. How do we ensure we finish? By following our King. By following his word, laying down our life for him, and letting his word rule in our life. Rule in our life. And you won't always like the word. You won't always like the word. You won't always like the things that God tells us to do. You might not like the fact that God says, lay your worship down and go and sort things out with your friend. You might not like that, but that's what God says to do. That's his instruction. We're citizens. He's the King. He's the King. He's the Lord. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And the good news is he wants to provide for all of our needs. He wants you to have the things. God doesn't despise things. God is actually quite happy for you to have things as long as things don't have you. He's quite happy for you to have the things as long as things don't have you. Because it's not really about the things. It's about what's first. It's about what's first. Who's first in your life? You see, the Bible says that Jesus is before all things, above all things, beyond all things. He wants to be first on the list, first in your life, in every place. And so today I've given you some things that you can measure that by. Putting God first is revealed in having a kingdom focus, in how we do our treasure, how we do our finances and our investments, to make sure we're not caught up in the race of that. It's all good, but put God first by being a giver, being a tither. Put God first in that. Put God first in your relationships by doing your best to heal brokenness when brokenness happens. Do your best. Do your best to live at peace with all people. Then you can sleep well and the peace of God will be with you. It's seen in our attitudes by having a positive and encouraging spirit and not being someone that's running around judging everybody with a log in our own eye. When in comparison, what we want to pick on in someone else is only a little speck in their eye. Big things happen when we put God first. Let's stand to our feet. Big things happen when we make a decision, an intentional decision, that I'm going to put God first in my life. When we have the habits of gathering, like the church is recreating all around the world now, after being in isolation, after not being able to gather right across our world, the church is learning to gather again. We're learning to connect again. We're learning to build community again, because some of those things have been eroded and become second place in our life and third place in our life. And we want to get that first. So keep that habit of gathering. Keep that habit of building. Keep that habit of putting God first, of engaging and building connection and building community with each other. The habit of giving and the habit of contributing, the habit of sharing and the habit of serving. They're gold. All those habits are gold. The habit of being gracious. Having a grace-filled spirit and a grace-filled heart. God is more concerned with the way we walk out our faith than the professions we make of our faith. Yeah. He really is. Because he wants to give us a new way of living. A new life. Divine. And so our theme this year, we talked about fighting for our families, fighting for our future, fighting for our faith, fighting for our church. And we fight by building. It's not a physical fight, it's a spiritual fight. We fight by building. We fight by being here on a Sunday. We fight by getting involved in our connect groups. We fight by our giving. We fight by our serving. And that's how we move life forward after the fallout. We reconnect. We re-engage. We rebuild. We restore. We reset is what we do. And each one of us are a part of doing that today. Believer 101. It's all about God being first. The principle of what and who will be first in our lives. And Jesus very practically unpacks for us how that works. Let me pray for you today. I want to pray for us all. Pray for those that are online today. I want to pray that God would help us putting first in every sphere, every atmosphere, every part of our lives. Father, we come to you today and we pray today that you would help us to make you first, to have you as the priority of our lives in all the areas we've spoken about today. Some of these decisions aren't easy decisions. Some of these decisions are where we have to weigh up the cost of following you. The invitation is free, but the journey, it cost us everything of ourselves, because you want us to lay down ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. Help us to put you first and to keep you first, to make the kingdom of God our primary concern today. Father, I pray for my family and friends today and those online. Praying for people today that are sick. Praying for people today that need your presence. Praying for people today that need your hope and encouragement today. Praying for people that need opportunity. Praying for people that need jobs today. People that need their business doors to open today. People that need that kind of increase to come in the things of life. I pray you'd pour out that blessing as we place God first, as we put you in place over our lives, God, that you would take care of every aspect of our lives, financially, relationally, socially, physically, economically, every area of life touched by the blessing of God, because God is first. That's our prayer today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Church, let's lean in and worship the Lord. We're going to sing this beautiful song that we sang in worship just before. I want you to lift up your hands as we worship God together and sing this. Let's do it.
very much for being with us today. Cafe's open for hospitality. Why don't you gather around a table, get some food, some coffee, catch up with some friends today, and just build community and connect. Our food outlet is also open if you need to do some shopping today. Have an amazing week. Don't forget Good Friday, Easter Sunday, here for both services over the Easter weekend. God bless you. Goodbye to our online community. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you.